Broadcasting from the secret military base in Summit Township. This is On the Docket with Connor Dockery.
Who do you think you are? I am.
Weekdays at noon on Jackson's Fox Sports 101.9 FM. Presented by Knutson Sporting Goods, your outdoor convenience store. Kettlebell Hotspot, where your functional fitness begins. Bud Light, Bella Notte Ristorante, and Tri-County Water. That's good water.
Docket. It is Wednesday. It is hump day. And it is also less than a week away from the MLB playoffs. But somebody please tell the Tigers that. Because clearly they haven't gotten the memo. Because the Tigers are playing like they still have a 15-game lead in the division. Yeah, I don't know if you could tell. I am sick to my stomach with this Detroit Tigers team right now. I can't believe what's happening. It's just unbelievable. Tigers go 1-9 in 10 games. Cleveland red hot. Cleveland fighting their way to being a game back behind the Tigers with a 3-game series against each other in the last week of the regular season. And I think the winner of this series is going to win the division. So this is a must-win series for both these teams. And the Tigers, yikes. Don't know if they played like it. I don't know if they realize the stakes. So, of course, Tarek Skubal on the mound for the Tigers. Gavin Williams, one of the better pitchers, on the mound for the Guardians, on the mound, a guy who's eaten the Tigers alive this season. Got some of the highlights for you. I don't know if we want to play all these, but I will. It's not that I hate you that much, it's because I hate myself that much. So we might as well play them all. Tigers actually do strike first in the third inning, back-to-back doubles, Zach McKinstry, and then Wenzel Perez.
Ground ball to first and off the glove of Adani Manzaro down in the right field corner. McKinstry will score. Wenzel Perez around first, heading to second. Throw, not in time. Wenzel Perez delivers. Tigers take a 1-0 lead in the third.
And at this point, I'm still not comfortable. I mean, Cleveland, they're a pitching and defense team. And a low-scoring game favors Cleveland. I mean, the Tigers, I only feel comfortable in a game against the Guardians if they're able to build probably a 5-6 run lead. Then it's like, okay, you know, they don't really have the hitting abilities to be able to overcome that. Because really, when you look at it, this Cleveland team only has about, you know, probably 3-4 decent hitters on this team. The rest of them are just not good. So, and then huge, huge missed opportunity. So after the Tigers take a 1-0 lead, Guardians out in order in the bottom of the third, fourth inning, with one out, bases get loaded. And then back-to-back strikeouts for Zach McKinstry and Wenzel Perez. And at that point, I knew the Tigers were in trouble. It was going to be one of those games offensively. I mean, if you can't come through and bring across at least one run in a situation like that, I mean, that's in a must-win game. I mean, if you watched the game last night, you heard the crowd. It was a playoff game. You know, they were cheering every strike by Cleveland's pitchers. They were booing every ball, no matter how clear cut it was out of the zone. It's a playoff environment. So the Tigers fail in the fourth inning. Bases loaded, one out. Don't come away with anything. Both teams not really doing anything since Skubal getting a little bit of a jam in the fifth inning with two runners on, but able to get out of that one. Meanwhile, in the sixth inning, Tigers get some insurance. Riley Green, solo home run.
Strike one, fly ball, right field. This one's deep. That one's got a chance. Gone! Riley Green rips his 35th home run of the year into the seats in right. He got a fastball, and he did not miss. 2-0 Tigers in the sixth.
So, 2-0, as you heard there. But it was the bottom of the sixth inning that things would start to fall apart for Tarik Skubal. So, leadoff single, Stephen Kwan, a little bit of a weird bunt play, able to make it on. Martinez, a bunt, and then unbelievable error by Tarik Skubal. I mean, what are you doing? Just eat the play. Just let him get on base. Got two runners on. Okay, you still have a chance at a double play. But instead, he like hikes the ball. He hikes the ball between his legs like it's football, and it's way over Torkelson's head. Like, come on. I'm like screaming at my TV at this point. Like, dude, you know better than that. And if anything, it just makes me more mad seeing like a football, kind of like a hike like that, because it just makes me wish that I was watching the Lions again after how much joy the Lions brought me on Monday. Now this is like the crash back to reality. Like, geez. We got to suffer through a Tigers historic season collapse before we get to our next Lions game. So, just like that, two in scoring position with no outs. And then Jose Ramirez gets Cleveland on the board 2-1.
The 0-2 swinging a soft ground ball to third. That will score a run, and again, nobody will be retired. Little swinging bunt. This is unbelievable. Bunt, bunt, error. 40-foot ground ball.
And then, I mean, Skubal a little bit shaky on his command all game. Wild pitch ties it up.
3-2 in the dirt, and it gets away from Denver, and we're tied.
And then things get a little worse, obviously. After that, we got the unfortunate hit by pitch. Not necessarily a hit by pitch, but it was a foul officially. But David Fry, he attempted a bunt. And Skubal, a little bit out of the zone. And it was a foul ball. I mean, you could see in the replay, it deflects off his bat quickly. Like, it looks like it just goes straight and hits him in the face, 99 mile per hour heater, but it actually does deflect up. Now, you saw a lot of criticism, people saying, oh, you know, what is he doing? Why is Skubal throwing that pitch? You know, it wasn't his fault. That was, you could tell he was shooting for that upper corner, got a little away from him. Again, he was a little shaky all game with the command, although he was able to keep it scoreless before this inning. And again, 99 miles an hour, that's tough to get out of the way of. So I don't really pin that on Skubal for that hit by pitch. But George Valera able to come in and Skubal able to get him out. And then RBI ground out gives Cleveland the lead.
2-1. Soft ground ball to first. It's going to score a run. Torkelson makes a play unassisted. 3-2 Cleveland.
And then, top of the seventh, next half inning, Tigers do nothing. Bottom of the seventh, Guardians with two outs. A walk with two outs, Kyle Finnegan coming in, and then, man, this guy just, he was rolling when he came over at the trade deadline for the Tigers. Kyle Finnegan, then he got hurt, was out for about 3 weeks, and Ever since he's come back, he just clearly got out of a rhythm. And he's just not in a rhythm right now. Able to give up back-to-back hits. A gut punch for Daniel Schneeman.
The 2-2 swinging a shot in the left field, a base hit, and that's going to be score two. Two out, two runs, single, 5-2 Cleveland.
And then from that point on, Tigers only get one more base runner and don't do anything. And that's it.
The 0-2 swinging a line drive to third. Caught by Ramirez. Guardians have moved into a tie from 15 and a half games back with the Tigers. A first place tie with five games to go. 19 strikeouts led by Gavin Williams, 12. One of the strangest rallies you will ever see against Tarek Skubal, who had a 2-0 lead in the sixth. And the Guardians come back and pull out the win. Our final score, Cleveland 5 and the Detroit Tigers 2.
Inconceivable!
Okay, obviously, what happened to the Tigers is very upsetting, but I actually did have that thought. It was funny. I mean, that's what I think of with what is happening to the Tigers right now. It's just like the Princess Bride, where the masked man, you know, kind of gaining some ground, you know, and the inconceivable, you know, he keeps getting closer and closer. He's climbing the rope. Inconceivable. That's what it feels like. The Tigers had this huge lead in the division all season long and in the playoffs, and then just, you know, seeing that lead melt away. And the Tigers with nothing to say but inconceivable. And now the fact that the Guardians have caught up and at this point actually taken the lead in the division. Because with that win, the Tigers officially lose the season series against the Guardians. Guardians clinch the tiebreaker against them. So the Tigers, if they want to win the division, they have to finish one win better than Cleveland. If they tie, Cleveland gets the division. So completely unreal what has happened. And the Tigers. You can't strike out 19 times in a must-win game. Absolutely unacceptable. And don't think I'm excusing Tarek Skubal in this one, because normally I do. I mean, you know, the way he's pitched all season, last 2 years, you know, he's done a lot for this team. But last night, I thought was inexcusable, just the way, you know, he kind of melted down there in that sixth inning. And especially that error. And what enrages me is he only gets one earned run out of that. Three runs allowed, but only one earned run. In my opinion, if the pitcher himself commits the error, those should still count as earned runs, because that was his own fault. I get it if it's a teammate who messes up, commits the error, then they're unearned runs if they come across, but those should be absolutely earned runs against Skubal's average. I don't care if it inflates his ERA. I don't care if Skubal wins the Cy Young at this point anymore this season, because if the Tigers find a way to blow this and they miss the playoffs, and God forbid they actually do make the playoffs, they're probably going to be an early flameout at this point based on how they've been playing as of late. Doesn't matter. All the good stuff going through the All-Star break for this team. It's a house of cards that has just toppled down. And I'm sick to my stomach. And I've got more to say on this. Oh, yes. I got more to say on this. This is On the Docket back in 3 minutes.
On the Docket with Connor Dockery. Weekdays at noon.
On the Docket is brought to you by Knutson Sporting Goods, Bellinote Ristorante, Bud Light, Tri-County Water, and Kettlebell Hotspot, where you build raw functional strength and core stability and improve your cardiovascular endurance and metabolic conditioning. You can burn calories at the same pace as a 6-minute mile with a well-structured kettlebell workout. So join the team today. Kettlebell Hotspot in Spring Arbor, where your functional fitness begins. So, Tigers drop a must-win game last night, 5-2, and are now tied for the American Central Division, which inconceivable even 2 weeks ago for this to happen, but here we are. Tigers have now lost 7 in a row, have lost 10 of their last 11 games. And the playoff race is starting to take shape. As, again, 2 weeks ago, we were talking about, oh, the Tigers, even me. I mean, I don't care if you want to throw egg on my face for this because, forgive me, I didn't expect the Tigers to go, you know, 1-10 in this 11-game stretch. You know, even if they go, you know, 5-6, 4-7, we're not nearly in this bad of a position. So, again, we were discussing, hey, the Tigers, they're probably just fighting for the 1 or 2 seed, get the first round bye. Yeah, that's out the window. Even if the Tigers win the division, that's not happening. They have to play in the wild card round now because they are not passing Seattle. They're 3 games back of Seattle. I'm pretty sure Seattle has the tiebreaker as well. So it doesn't matter. The Tigers pretty much have to win out. Seattle has to lose out if they want to try to get a tiebreaker. So at this point, the Blue Jays, Mariners, and the Yankees last night actually clinching a playoff spot. And the American League Central Division, of course, still up for grabs between Cleveland and Detroit. As I mentioned, Detroit has to finish 1 win better than Cleveland if they want to win the division, because if they tie, it goes to Cleveland, because with the win last night, Cleveland officially secures the tiebreaker. Otherwise, the Red Sox and Tigers are the other teams that are in the wild card right now who have yet to clinch a playoff spot. The Red Sox are 1 game up over the Tigers, and then the Astros are the last team that is still hunting for a playoff spot. Below them, Kansas City, they're eliminated. Texas got eliminated as well. Texas, similarly, on a bad cold streak, 8 losses in a row. And by the grace of God, the Astros lost last night against the A's. So, right now, the Tigers have a game up over Houston. So, again, if they tied, they would be in a tie right now. Of course, the Tigers have the tiebreaker over the Astros, but still, it'd be a little bit more comforting to see that 1-game lead in the playoffs. But the Tigers are officially, this margin of error is so razor thin right now. The Tigers, if they want to have a chance to win the division, they have to win these next 2 games. Have to. If they get swept in this series, of course you can kiss the division goodbye. And in my eyes, you can probably kiss the playoffs goodbye. Going to be very tough going into that 3-game series against Boston, who is also fighting for a playoff spot. You know, just to basically play into the playoffs, it's going to be tough. Especially with how this team is playing. So, the Tigers tonight. I said weeks ago, I am scared in the playoffs of Jack Flaherty pitching, because I mentioned he's a box of chocolates. He either pitches great or he pitches miserably bad, like totally bad, like gives up 7-8 runs in 3 innings bad. And he is on the mound tonight against Tanner Bibee. Let's look at Bibee's last couple of games. He's coming off a couple good starts. Maybe he'll be due for a bad game. Of course, he lit up the Tigers last week. 1 run in 6 innings, 8 strikeouts. Hopefully the Tigers can break through to him tonight. Of course, to that point, the Tigers' bats have made a lot of pitchers look good in the last 2 weeks, to be fair. But Jack Flaherty, he's on the mound, and I'm nervous. I'm real nervous. I mentioned he's a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. And he's actually had back-to-back good games. And amazingly, in their last game, they lost. In my opinion, that's an unforgivable sin for this team to lose a game that Jack Flaherty actually pitches good. Only one run allowed in 5 innings. How do you blow that? But that's actually unfathomable for him to have back-to-back good games, because he was riding a streak of good game, bad game, good game, bad game, good game, bad game for months. I'm trying to see the last time he had a stretch of 3 good games in a row. Trying to scroll back earlier in the season. I would say late May, early June, I can see 0 runs in 6 innings against San Francisco, 1 run in 6 innings against Chicago, the White Sox, and then 0 runs in 6 innings against the Cubs. So it's been... it has been over 3 months since Jack Flaherty has had a stretch of 3 good games in a row. But we need this from him tonight. Because if we get the other Jack Flaherty, which again, that's my worst fear, is that he's due for another typical Jack Flaherty stinker, then the Tigers will have lost the series, and oof. It's going to be tough. No announced starter for tomorrow, and I think that's more on the Tigers' end. I think the Tigers are going to wait and see. But yikes, I'm not comfortable. Can the Tigers win tonight? Sure, but I'm not confident going in. You find yourself in a must-win position with Jack Flaherty on the mound. Again, as good as he's been the last 2 starts, we need him to replicate that here. And the other problem is the bullpen. The bullpen has been falling apart for the Tigers as of late. Even, again, Kyle Finnegan has not been pitching great. Tommy Canley, they for some reason keep trotting this guy out there. Rafael Montero's given up some runs lately. Will Vest, even, who's been solid all season long, he's even been falling apart. So this team is just so out of whack right now. Starting pitching, even when it's good, just seems like everything falls apart when the bullpen comes in. But even then, it doesn't even matter because the Tigers' bats are quiet. Cold. Specifically, they can't get that critical hit. As I mentioned last night, I got a bad feeling in that 4th inning when the Tigers blew that bases loaded opportunity with 1 out. I was like, all right, yep, this is not good, because then that puts the pressure on the pitching. Again, I'm not excusing Tarek Skubal last night, because that was not my favorite Tarek Skubal game last night. And meanwhile, in this cold stretch, I mean, some of these players, some of these all-stars, no less. I mean, where have they gone? I mean, Torkelson, no hits his last 2 games, but he actually was doing pretty decently before that. Probably the only player on the team actually with a bat in his hand actually doing something in the last couple weeks. Gleyber Torres actually hasn't been bad either. Zach McKinstry, I mean, you might as well put his face on the side of a milk carton at this point. He finally got a couple hits in his last couple games, but he was on a big hitless streak in that time when, you know, the Tigers started to get ice cold. Kerry Carpenter hasn't been great. He was not great last night. Dylan Dingler, he did have a 3-hit game against Atlanta, but a lot of zeros lately in the hit column. Javi Baez, although he was injured, didn't play last night. He's had a lot of 0 games really the past month. He hasn't been great. These are guys that this team needs to perform, but they're just not. And as a result, the Tigers are in the spot they're in. See, the first half of the season, the Tigers, while the bats were not great, they were consistently, like, decent, I would say. And the starting pitching, I mean, there was a part in the season, like, a couple weeks in, where all five Tigers starters had a sub-3 earned run average. Skubal, Mize, Reese Olson, Jack Flaherty even, he had a good start to the season. And then don't forget Jackson Jobe before he went down needing Tommy John. And then the bullpen was great. Obviously not as good as last season with the pitching chaos that the Tigers employed last year to help make that late season push and push in the postseason. I mean, it seems like everything is just wrong right now. And unfortunately, that's kind of how I feel, is this team made a deal with the devil, if you will. At the cost of this season, they were able to have last season's run. They had last season's magical late season run to sneak into the playoffs. And now this year, it's the opposite. They're having a less than magical cold spell to finish the season and potentially will blow the playoffs altogether after the lead they had over the division and everybody else in the wild card all season long. First pitch tonight, 6:40, Flaherty and Bibee in a must-win game for the Tigers. In other news from Major League Baseball last night, the automatic ball strike system is coming to Major League Baseball next year. And it's not like it's just going to be straight, you know, electronic umpiring. There's still going to be real umpires, but they're bringing in the challenges where each team has two challenges per game. And challenges can be made by a pitcher, catcher, or batter. So no coaches. It has to be by the players that can argue a ball strike call, and then if it's incorrect, obviously they'll go to the board and see, based on the electronic strike zone, if it was a correct call or not. And if you get it right, you get to keep your challenge, and if you get it wrong, you lose that challenge, and each team gets two challenges per game. I think it looks like they'll get extra challenges in extra innings if it gets to that point. Like, let's say a team blew through their challenges, gets the extra innings, they'll probably get an extra challenge to use. But no, I like this idea. They tested it out in spring training, and they used it in the minor leagues this year, I believe, in AAA, if I'm not mistaken. And it seems like it's actually had good success. So I do like this idea. Of course, it's kind of similar to the NBA in recent years implementing the coaches challenge, which I think that needs to happen in the NBA in terms of, if you get the challenge correct, you keep your challenge. In the NBA, it's just a one-off. You get one challenge per game. So I think if you're correct, you get to keep your challenge. If you're incorrect, that's it. But again, two challenges per team per game. If you get it right, you keep it. If you get it wrong, you lose it. So again, I think that's a good implementation next year for Major League Baseball. So again, still human umpires, but if there's a bad call, the hitter, pitcher, or catcher has the right to challenge the call for a potential overturn. So does it take away some of the old-fashioned element? I mean, sure, but I feel like something like this is just long overdue. You know, help out some of these critical calls maybe late in these games. So there you go. Dan Campbell press conference from yesterday. We're going to break that down on the other side ahead of the Lions' fourth game of the season on Sunday against the Cleveland Browns. This is On the Docket, back in 3 minutes.
On the Docket with Connor Dockery, weekdays at noon.
On the docket, brought to you by Knutson Sporting Goods, Kettlebell Hotspot, Bellanote Ristorante, Bud Light, Tri-County Water, and Polly's Country Market. Sign up for My Market Rewards in-store today. Save up those reward points and get exclusive deals. See all the deals online. Country-markets.com. That's Polly's Country Market. See your nearby location today. Dan Campbell spoke with the media yesterday. Of course, a fun game. Monday Night Football. With a lot of people saying of the Dan Campbell era, you know, this is up there for, you know, one of the best road wins that this team has gotten. I mean, other ones that come to mind, the season opener, I believe 2 years ago on Thursday Night Football, the Lions able to take down the defending Super Bowl champs, the Kansas City Chiefs at Arrowhead. That's definitely a contender for best road win for this team under Dan Campbell. And then the other one that I have in mind was Dan Campbell's first season, of course, when the team started 1-6, and then they finished red hot, nearly made a playoff run, nearly made it all the way to the playoffs, but the last game of the season on the road at Lambeau, the Lions were able to take down Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers, which was a game that prevented the Packers from making the playoffs. So even though the Lions didn't make the playoffs, they at least prevented Green Bay. They eliminated Green Bay from making the playoffs. And not to mention, that was Aaron Rodgers' last game as a Packer. So I don't know. It's tough. Definitely, it's hard for me to organize those three. Those, in my mind, are the three best road wins for this team under Dan Campbell. It's hard to organize them, but definitely the Ravens win was a top three road win for this team. So just a great game, masterclass on all sides of the ball. Again, a few things here and there to clean up, but against the opponent of that caliber, I mean, just terrific execution. And a couple interesting comments during yesterday's press conference. Campbell asked about what type of momentum that builds for the team, getting a win like that.
I mentioned this last night. I think when you find a way to win a different type of game against a different opponent, we know what they've been year in, year out, physical, tough, competitive. They're in it. They go deep in the playoffs every year, have a shot at the dance every year, so you know what you're up against, and that quarterback's so dynamic. So when you're able to go into their place and find a way to win, you know, that's good because you found another way to win. And so, listen, winning only helps you, right?
So, again, just a big win, just to prove that not only can they go toe-to-toe with one of the best teams in the league, but they're able to take down one of the best teams in the AFC in their house. No less. Not an easy place to play. And I think everybody before the game was thinking back, you know, 2-3 years ago when the Lions played the Ravens in their joint and they had the doors blown off. As a matter of fact, I had a hard time remembering which season. I guess it probably would have done me good to actually fact check this and look this up before going on the air. A little late now, but I think that was that 1-6 start, that first season. And from what I remember, of course, the Lions started 1-6, but those six losses, they were in every game, and they lose just on some strange way, you know, late. It was a one-possession game. And I think that was the only loss of those six games that was like a true blowout, like they had no chance. So it just felt good to go back in there and beat that team. Because I think everybody still had a bad taste in their mouths the last time that the Lions went there to Baltimore. And I know Dan Campbell, he's been asked a few questions about this, but he doesn't care what the media thinks, nor should we. And I mean the mainstream, the big talking heads in the sports media. You should, of course, listen to me. At least I hope. You should listen to what I have to say. You can agree or disagree, but Campbell spoke on silencing critics of this team, who pretty much wrote this team off after the week one loss against the Packers.
Well, yeah, that those happen all the time, right? I mean, it's so early, and I mean, you just worry about winning the one in front of you, and every game's different, every opponent's different, and you just find a way to win, and you do whatever it takes to win the game in front of you. But, yeah, I mean, I know for us, we can't go through the ebbs and flows, right? After the Packers, we were done for the year. I mean, we're over. And now all of a sudden we're going to be what we – it doesn't matter. We have our own standards. We know what those are. We know how we prepare. We know how we practice. And we know how we need to play. And that's all that matters. So whatever else is out there, that's not for us. We just got to worry about our own business. And I know this, we got to be locked in and ready for freaking Cleveland coming into town. I do know that.
So, and again, he doesn't care. The team doesn't care about what the talking heads have to say. But no, it was, I mean, that's what it was like. I mean, obviously, I didn't like the way the team started the season, but I was like, you know what? They'll be fine. The Packers just came out with their A++ game. The Lions came out kind of flat, but over time this team will be fine. Will the team finish with as good of a record as they did last year? I would say even after the last two wins, I would still say, going to be really tough to. At this point, the Lions can only lose one more game the rest of the year if they want to match last season's 15-2 record. And given the strength of their road schedule, I still think the Lions are due to probably lose two, maybe even three games before the season's all said and done. But, I mean, this team does still a contender. And especially after the head-scratching loss that the Packers just had to the Browns, I mean, the division is still there. Obviously, not that I'm writing off the division after that first game. These two teams still have to play each other, the Packers and the Lions. But, just this team is fine. And I felt like they were always going to be fine, but I've been impressed with how fast they've been able to get things going. I thought it'd take a lot longer, probably week 5 or 6, before this team was fully up and running and hot. But this team is playing good and early, and a lot of that has to do with the coordinators, John Morton and Kelvin Shepard. It seems like both guys are already kind of in place. You'd think these guys have been here for years. I mean, they both have. John Morton previously was with the team a few years ago, and of course Kelvin Shepard has been within the organization, so they have been here, but you'd think they would have been the coordinators for years based on how this team is rolling. And Dan Campbell asked about the job the coordinators have done to improve to this point.
No, I mean, we do what we do here. We have an identity, we have a culture, and nothing's going to change that. I go back, I thought Shep did a hell of a job in preparation and calling of the game, and the players, man, really responded. And I bring it up again, man. They made this plan come to life. John Morton, man, what a great job, And every week they've gotten better and better and better, and we're all figuring each other out now in those roles. I know them very well, but it's about now Shep in the DC role, Johnny in the OC role, with me as the head coach, and we're getting more and more comfortable every week. And those guys, I just thought they did a hell of a job. And they're only getting better and better and better.
And I agree. I think that specifically on the defensive side of the ball, the team is starting to play really well under Kelvin Shepard. And I mentioned yesterday, I just love how animated this guy gets on the sideline. Like, he's right there. He's cheering. He's getting excited whenever the team gets a big defensive stop. And, this team is really responding well. Of course, statistically, the Lions, not off to the best start defensively, but I think, of course, should they have played better defensively against the Bears? Yes, but, starting against the Packers and the Ravens, Of course, those are two tough offensive teams. Now, of course, I say that. The Packers have not been too hot offensively since then. But the way they came out in that game, you know, really tough to stop. So, and of course, John Morton on offense. This team is rolling. And they caught fire, especially in that second half against the Bears, and they rolled straight in, as getting some impressive early scores against the Ravens, but able to put the game away and get those scores when they mattered. And I just think about, even with Dan Campbell, that critical fourth down play in the fourth quarter with like 2 minutes left. You know, the Tigers, jeez, I don't want to bring them up right now. The Lions, you know, they could have played it safe. Could have punted it away and then forced Baltimore to try to tie the game and make a run. But they were like, you know what? We're not even going to give you the chance. Go for it on fourth down. And then eventually able to get that big. And we're not going to kill the time. We're going to go for the score. Got the big touchdown from David Montgomery to put the game away. Just love how this team is rolling, especially on offense. The offense is looking amazing, looking better than ever. And defense, I think they haven't even hit their peak yet. And there was still a lot to like from how the team played defensively against the Baltimore Ravens. So, again, good stuff for the Detroit Lions. And, I mean, obviously the Browns, they snuck up and beat the Packers. This is not a team that the Lions should sleep on. Of course, the Browns coming in were projected to be probably a bottom three team. Will they finish as a bottom three team? Probably. Maybe bottom like 5, 6, 7. They haven't looked as bad as I thought they would to start, but I mean, hey, while that's a bad offense, that's still a pretty decent defense. So I think if the Lions can keep their offense rolling like it has, then should be able to beat the Browns. But, of course, after last week, never say never. And a tough loss like that is always a possibility. Hopefully, the Browns get that crazy win that they were going to get all season. Get that out of the way against the Packers. Hopefully, the Lions are able to steady the course. Do what the Packers were not able to do and beat the Cleveland Browns. NHL preseason is underway. And the Detroit Red Wings took the ice last night for the first time officially in preseason play. Going to talk about that on the other side. This is On the Docket, back in 3 minutes.
On the Docket with Connor Dockery, weekdays at noon.
On the Docket, brought to you by Knutson Sporting Goods, Kettlebell Hotspot, Bellinote Ristorante, Bud Light, and Tri-County Water. Red Wings in the preseason. Not going to lie, it kind of snuck up on me. Of course, I was aware of their annual red and white scrimmage game that they did. They did it this year in Grand Rapids, where the Grand Rapids Griffins play. The AHL affiliate of the Red Wings, of course. But when I saw last night, I was like, oh, there's a Red Wings game on right now. So, able to check out some pieces of it. And, I mean, mostly, you know, third, fourth stringers that played in this game. You know, mostly some of the prospects that are going to be trying to crack the roster. That's who was playing in last night's game. Of course, had Sebastian Kosa in net. Otherwise, you know, some of the other mainstays that'll likely be in the rotation. I mean, you had Ian Mitchell. You had Jonathan Berggren. JT Compher. William Lagesson. So again, not really a whole lot of the main guys playing in last night's game. However, a notable guy got the first preseason goal for the Detroit Red Wings.
shoots it back to the blue line. Shot across now, left side. Danielson over on the right side. Pass in front. Finney drops it back. Score! Carter Mazur fires it in. It's a power play goal. The Red Wings lead 1-0.
That's right. Jackson, Michigan's own Carter Mazur getting the first goal of the game last night, so that was definitely cool to see, and I'm excited to see what he does with the team this year. I mean, of course, got called up in the spring in this past season, and, you know, he got unfortunately injured about a minute in. So, I mean, cool to see him get that goal. So, but I mean, otherwise, Red Wings win 3-2. I mean, not much else I really can say on the preseason game. I mean, they absolutely dominated the Blackhawks, 43-17 on shots. And able to get that win. If only they can replicate that in the regular season. That's what we need. But again, none of the main guys playing, so it's kind of like the Lions preseason with when not a lot of the main guys playing and not really much I could comment on. But I did just want to bring that up, that Carter Mazur able to get that goal. So definitely cool. Hopefully he'll have a decent role with the Detroit Red Wings in this upcoming season. And some other hockey news that have come out in the past couple of days. Of course, speaking of key retirements, I mentioned in MLB, Clayton Kershaw retiring. Well, got a key retirement in the NHL. This will be the last season for Anze Kopitar from the LA Kings, captain. Of course, definitely one of the best in franchise history there with the LA Kings. Stanley Cup wins in 2012-2014. Second in franchise history in points. And then in terms of the all-time leaderboards, 40th all-time in points, 29th all-time in assists. So good career for Kopitar going to finish this season. And of course, had some recent comments by, I mean, really no, not even a rival anymore. Used to be a rival. But the Colorado Avalanche. Cale Makar, star defenseman, saying that, I mean, he isn't alone, but players want the old-fashioned playoff format back in hockey. 1-8, 2-7, so on and so forth. Just the best 8 teams in each conference making the playoffs and then just going from there. So several years ago, mostly with the expansion, but NHL going in the direction of, you know, you have 4 giant divisions of 8 teams each, and the 3 best teams in each division make the playoffs plus 2 wild card teams. And I mean, if you look at the standings over the last couple years, it usually does work out where the top 8 teams make the playoffs anyways of each conference. There has not really been, you know, any instance, at least that I have seen, where, you know, a team that was not in the top 8 ended up making the playoffs anyways. So it just the big thing here is with the seeding, the matchup. So it's where the second and third team of each division, you know, kind of play each other, and then the number 1 team in each division plays the wild card teams, and then you kind of seeds off from there. But I'm going to be honest, I agree with Cale Makar on this one. I want the old fashioned, you know, playoff kind of format back. I never really have been a fan of this division format. I mean, if you want to go with these giant divisions, okay, but I don't know. It's harder for these sports like hockey and basketball to be more like baseball and football in terms of, you know, having such an importance on the divisions. So maybe you could do it where the top division winners get automatically the 1 and 2 seeds and then everybody else seeds from there, but I don't know. Maybe the NHL can play with that in the next CBA. That's it for me. on the docket on this Wednesday. Tigers with Jack Flaherty on the mound tonight. Don't let me down, please. Goodbye, everybody.
If you missed today's installment of On the Docket, podcast it at foxsports1019.com or wherever you get your podcasts. Be sure to tune in live weekdays at noon on Jackson's Fox Sports 101.9 FM.